Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Bama Baseline Podcast. Today, we are here in mourning of what would have been an amazing basketball season this year. We're going to each go around and discuss something that kind of touched our hearts a little bit, kind of made us feel a little sad. But also, we're going to touch on some good things. Some good things. Because when things die, you have to look at them in positive ways. I would like to start by looking at JQ Jelly, who should have, you know, he should have been on the team this year. It was a very terrible situation to happen to him. Rest in peace, Jelly. We'll see you next year. James?
I got a lot of words I could say, but I do want to give a shout out to James Beal Bolden, everything he gave this team. There were some ups and downs throughout the season, certainly, with Beal Bolden. The defense was usually great. The offense at times sputtered, but he gave it everything he had every minute he was out on the court. And I really, really appreciate everything he brought to this team as a graduate transfer from West Virginia. Brought that Press Virginia intensity to this team. The sad for me, it's got to be that on a night where a fan came to the game with a sign stating Reese for three, Alex Reese, went 1 for 9, 1 for 9 from behind the arc. Luke, what do you have to say? It's okay, Luke, you can let it out.
It's all right. Let it out. Let it out, buddy. It's okay.
I want to thank Kyra Lewis and Herbert Jones for how hard they play, as well as John Petty up until he hurt his elbow. It's a sad thing. It's not over yet, but it's time to play the sad music. There's a lot of stuff we can look back on and positives, and but what if, man?
I would also like to give a special shout out to the players that were with Avery that would have thrived with Nate Oates. Braxton Keys, the Dante Halls. That's it. Thank you all so much. Wishing for you better in your next life.
Welcome to the Bama Baseline Podcast. I'm James Fletcher with Trevin Pierre-Noel and Luke Ratliff. That was our eulogy to the season. As we wrap up regular season action, we still have the SEC tournament that we'll talk about later on in the show. But first, we got to recap the final week of gameplay.
Do we really have to?
We got to do it. We have to touch on it. Unfortunately, we've got to talk about some of the things that happened in these last few weeks, specifically the last week. But Alabama losing to Vanderbilt during the week, losing to Missouri on the weekend to close out SEC play. They finished the season here with a final record of 16-15, so still a winning record, but 8-10 in the conference. They will play as the 9 seed at the SEC tournament up in Nashville. We'll talk about that, like I said, in the third segment. In the second segment, we'll talk about a few things. We're going to rank some things for you guys. We got a little heated debate going on in the...
You want to tease it?
In the studio. We're going to talk chicken tenders.
All right.
We're going to talk chicken tenders. So everybody get your palates ready. Think about what your favorite chicken tenders are, because we've got our list made up here, and we'll be dishing that out in the second segment. We're also going to talk about the incredible putting feat again at the Missouri game on the road.
Oh, is Golf Guy going
to
be here?
Golf Guy has committed to be on the show.
Oh, wow. Golf Guy.
You know it's a wild time. Golf Guy's here.
God, what a show this is going to be. We eulogize the season. We rank chicken tenders, and Golf Guy, who's incredibly far from the mic, is going to show up.
Yes.
Wow.
Golf Guy will be in studio, but first we got to get through this first segment. Well, let's talk about the Vanderbilt Commodores came into Tuscaloosa. They took down Alabama in what was an unexpected decision for sure. Guys, I said last week on the podcast, I said unless Scottie Pippen Jr. turns into his father.
Why'd you jinx us?
I said it the first time, Trevin.
Why'd you jinx us?
And it didn't jinx us then. I think what really jinxed us was this stat that I pulled up at halftime of the game. Alabama has not won a weekday game since January 22nd.
Against, who was that against?
That was against Auburn, I believe.
No.
Or was it LSU? LSU might have been the last one.
No, not LSU at home. Jeez, Louise.
It's been a long
time. Missouri.
Vanderbilt. I think it was Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt. Yes,
not
on the
just
road. I had to pull up my old tweet there. Yes, it was Vanderbilt on the road.
That seems like a year ago.
Yes.
That was the fourth win in a row for the Crimson Tide. And then they went to, they came back home, if I'm not mistaken, on the 25th.
Played Kansas State.
Yeah. Played Kansas State, fifth win in a row.
Yeah. Finished the season 6-9 during the week.
Nice.
Not a good record during the week. And that's just an odd stat. I don't know what to do with it necessarily, but they were not good when they had to play in the middle of the week.
You know, just got the pressure of classes, man. You know, just trying to get on schedule, trying to make everything work, and, you know, just didn't work out for them. You know?
Well, guys, look back again. And
worried about that homework.
Let's get broad here, all right? Look back again up until that Kansas State game, especially in conference play. You know, you lose a road game at Florida, you come home, and you wallop Mississippi State. We wallop a Mississippi State team by 23 points, I believe it was. And then you go to Rupp, and you have the shots just didn't fall, but it was a competitive game. Then you beat fourth-ranked Auburn, Missouri the following Saturday. You beat Vanderbilt on the road. Then you come back home to Kansas State in the Big 12 SEC Challenge, and you beat them, the Kansas State Wildcats. And right then, from that point until now, things just went in a downward spiraling vortex of bad luck, and everything goes wrong.
Right.
It's just it was not good, and it culminated this past week.
It did. It really shot downhill with the loss on the road against LSU. I think you could have taken one of those two losses against Arkansas or Tennessee, but not both, and that's how things shook out. You got the overtime win against Georgia. That was good. You took Auburn to overtime.
At Auburn.
So you felt good again. You felt like you were getting things rolling. LSU win. And then the Texas A&M loss, I think, is where things started to turn back the other way.
Just unraveling at that point. This just really just wasn't good. And went 2-4 in the last six games, with wins against the terrible Ole Miss Rebels, which I will stand by to this day, and a win at home. Well, I think that was because Frank Martin was in the building in South Carolina, and they were avenging Luke.
My friend, Frank Martin.
Your friend, Frank Martin. But before the game, they had his tweets
bitter,
up.
Bitter rival.
They had tweets up. They had Frank Martin and Luke in a WWE ring in the locker room as a poster for motivation, saying we got to protect the fans. We got to go out there and get the win. So other than that, it's just been tough. It's been tough. I think Vandy was the lowest point I've ever experienced as a basketball fan. That might be the lowest.
It was a pretty low point there.
As I've been in school these last 5 years, this might be the lowest point that Vandy lost.
That was a low point. And then the Missouri game, the stats look, I think, worse than it really was. I mean, a 19-point loss. They did pull away at the end. They were just hitting threes.
It looked like we were playing Virginia.
Yeah, defense backed off, and they continued to hit the shots they were taking no matter what. But things went south very quickly in that game also, and it's hard to really take in where we go from here. You know, Alex Reese did not finish the season well. His shot went away from him down the stretch these last few weeks.
Just got cold at the wrong time, you know.
And struggled to break out of that slump, too. So it's hard when you have that. You have John Petty, who I didn't think looked at all healthy. I didn't think he looked ready to be out there playing. Shot 0 for 5, scored 1 point. I mean, we know that's not John Petty at full capacity. Herb Jones, of course, still playing with the brace. I think he hopes to be out of it for the SEC tournaments, what I've heard most recently, but I don't think there's any guarantee. But it's just, you know, where do we go from here?
It got to a point here at the end of the season with Alex Reese's struggles and John Petty going down, of course, and Herb Jones not being able to, you know, produce as where you want him to be on the offensive end floor because he's got one hand, right? Where, you know, you're playing with basically seven guys and you've got three shooters in Kyra and Jaden Shackelford and Beal Bolton, and that's your team, you know, and it's hard to win at any level. And these are, I mean, at their best, you've seen where they were at. You've seen where this Alabama team was in, you know, mid to late January, and just how dangerous they were. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it just, things happened. And it seemed just everything that could go wrong went wrong, and there's nothing you really can do to combat that.
No, it was a difficult way to close out the regular season. And we now look ahead at the SEC tournament. We'll talk plenty about that in the last segment. We'll give you a complete preview of that SEC tournament. We'll talk about Alabama, of course, and their route, what they'll have to go through. But we'll also give our predictions for the other games around the league, what we think will happen over the course of this tournament as a whole. And, you know, then next week we'll be able to look back on what Alabama was able to do, how the SEC... you know, what happened on Selection Sunday? What happened with the NIT selections? We'll talk about all of that next week. But as it stands today, things did not go Alabama's way down the stretch. I do still think Nate Oates, once he gets more time, bring in more people, you know, really get this culture another year in this culture, this environment. I think the further into his tenure we get, the more we're going to look like the team that we were at our peak.
Without question.
And I think that's really where we're progressing towards. And we'll see that through recruiting over the next few months. We'll see that in the transfer market. I think they're going to bring in a handful of guys who are going
to
fit this
transfer market.
They're going to fit this system. We'll see. Grad transfers will be big too. But, of course, can't start talking about those until after the season's over. So when we come back, we're going to rank chicken tenders. We're also going to talk some golf with our good friend, Golf Guy.
Golf Guy, stay tuned.
Golf Guy's coming
guys.
In. You're listening to the Bama Baseline Podcast.
The Capstone, 90.7 FM, WVUA.
Welcome back into the Bama Baseline Podcast. We got a special second segment for you guys. We got great response from Golf Guy last time he was on.
Amen. And, good old Golf Guy.
And me and Trevin had a lot of questions before the show, so we gave him a call. We were wondering if anything like this has ever happened before. Alabama goes on the road to Ole Miss.
Old lady gets a car.
Old woman gets a car. She knocks down a putt from 94 feet, as we talked about. Would have been the longest putt on the PGA Tour in years.
Yes.
And then we go to Missouri.
Mizzou.
We head up into the Midwest, and the student comes out on the court during one of the timeouts and knocks down a putt. I believe it was free throw line to free throw line. And he hits it for a year's worth of bacon, as I understand.
Was it bacon?
It was bacon or barbecue. There were conflicting reports, but I know someone who was there. We gave him a call.
Right.
Golf Guy was on the scene once again.
Oh, my gosh.
We have Golf Guy. He's still in the corner, far away from the mic.
What's up, Golf Guy?
Guys, it was wicked stuff in Missouri. I apologize if you can't hear me. I got my mask on because of coronavirus.
Yeah, Golf Guy actually traveled down to be in studio with us today.
He didn't take any airplanes, but...
He went through Memphis, apparently on the day that they diagnosed their first case. So he's really concerned over in the corner. He's got his mask on.
Yeah.
He was using hand sanitizer as he came in the studio for this segment.
We made sure he washed his hands.
I don't trust you guys, man.
Well, you know, we don't trust you either with coronavirus, but we do trust you with golfing opinions. So can you tell us how you feel about those two putts just happening to be when Alabama is on scene?
Whoa, bro. Like, the first time it happened, full court, a woman gets a car? You're kidding me, right? No. Freaking sick, man. But then, the most sick thing ever, a guy from Missouri. All right? He hit it from free throw line to free throw line.
So let's
for years worth of bacon, man.
So do you think that he should have tried the 95 footer just like the old lady, just to make it just a little bit fair?
Bro, Trevin, I know because you weren't there and you just don't know. That putt was good from 1,000 feet.
Okay. Oh man! Oh,
wow.
You would have thought this guy was putting for a year's worth of charcuterie, man.
Well, so golf guy, we talked about the specifics of hitting a putt that far away. Guys on the PGA Tour who could do it last time. Now we've seen a college student go free throw line to free throw line. Is there an advantage to putting on the hardwood rather than the green?
It's flat, James. You ever looked at a hardwood court?
I have. It is flat on the top.
Yeah, James, have you seen a hardwood court?
It seems like it'd be a little slippery, you know.
Well, yeah, that's the whole point.
Ball might trail left or right. Yeah. But it doesn't seem to do that when they hit it only when Alabama's in the gym. Is there something to that?
No, James. Just luck, man.
Just luck. Okay.
Just luck. All right.
Well,
just
luck. I'm trying. Because I bet you anything, if you gave him 30 tries, Eldrick Taunton Woods. That's right. Tiger could probably only do it like 10. So you get an old woman and a college student out there hit on the first try. Whoa, man. I don't even know these guys play golf, man.
Now, golf guy, what would you do with a year's supply of bacon?
That's a great question.
I don't know, man. I'm watching my figure.
Watching your figure.
Watching my figure.
He said figure.
His figure, yeah. I don't know where he's from, golf guy, but he does bring a certain
je ne sais quoi.
Yes, when he talks about golf. Now, golf guy, we have one more question. We'll let you get out of here. We know you have a busy schedule. When you see two times in one season, people knock down putts for big prizes. Do you wonder, like Brooks Koepka, if these people only step up to the plate when the real money's on the line?
I don't know, man. It's hard to tell. I know if you give me a putt for like a year's worth of bacon, which I wouldn't eat because I'm watching my figure, I'd probably be more locked in, more focused in on that one putt.
James.
But that's just me.
Yeah. So James, what would your putt be? That you is locked in, like you just know, like if you walked up to it, years worth supply. What would be your one putt that you say, I just got to make it?
I get a year's worth supply. Let me tell you, and this will go in. It's not chicken tenders, but it's chicken. We've talked about on this show, all I eat is chicken. If you gave me a year's supply of Wing-Guru wings, I would be locked in. You could, like Golf Guy said, you could have put it 1,000 feet away and I would knock down that putt if you gave me a year's supply of wings. Trevin, what about you though?
Ooh, that's a great question. You know, I always think about this. I say the fat in me wants to say, you know, I want the wings. You know, I want the year's worth of meals. But the practical in me says, all right, give me a year's worth of rent.
Ooh.
And it's going in. I'm doing it.
All right.
You realize how much money I just saved? I could buy food with
money.
That.
Yeah.
I can buy the unhealthy food I want with the rent money, and I still got a bunch left over. That's the shoes, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I got it. I'm good. Give me the rent.
Those are both good answers.
Give me the rent.
I think rent is a good one. Golf guy, would you do it for a chance to play?
Ooh. At the Masters.
At the Masters.
Guys, I got a connection anyways to let you play the Masters win. It's just post-tournament, of course.
Okay.
Because they keep it up. But, guys, I don't need any incentive to be locked in when I got the stick in my hands. I'm telling you, because every time I get on that green, I'm like a Navy SEAL, man. I'm locked in.
All right. Locked in, golf guy. Before we get you out of here, we got to get one more get in the hole from golf guy.
Get in the hole!
There it is.
Thank you, golf guy. We
golf
appreciate
guy. Thank
him.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate him coming in the studio once again.
One of our favorite guests.
We have Luke coming back in the studio here. Yep. So we'll get him in.
Hey, you missed golf guy again.
Did you guys see golf guy?
Yeah, he was out in the hall. But
amazing.
He told me make time to come here. He's going to the Players this week.
Oh, ooh, yeah.
In Pont Vedra. So he's got a –
full week stay at the World Golf Resort.
Yeah, that must be why he's concerned about the coronavirus. He's got the mask on.
Yeah,
concerned about the travel. But we do want to get in here and talk chicken tenders.
Right, so you mentioned the chicken earlier. Mm-hmm. So, big thing on the poll, 90.7 The Capstone. It's on Twitter. They asked the important question, the top five chicken tender places in Tuscaloosa. Now, I feel like we've touched on chicken wings. I feel like we've touched on the sauce. Mm-hmm. Okay? I feel like we've touched on a lot of varieties of this question, but we've never gotten down to the tender of it.
No.
To the tender meat.
No, we have not.
James, we're going to start with you first. Top five chicken tender places in Tuscaloosa. Go.
All right, we're going to open it up here, and Fusakli's is not yet in Tuscaloosa. I know that's been a big...
Can't put that on there. It's not in here.
I know. I'm not putting it on my list, but I know that's been a big controversy. I want to put that disclaimer out there before we have people coming at us on Twitter.
Go ahead.
Number one, I'm going Cane's. I know it's only on campus.
That's the dining dollars in them.
But I'm going with Cane's.
That's the dining dollars.
Number two, I'm going Zaxby's. I like a good Zaxby's chicken tender. And again, this is independent of the sauces.
Yes, right. It's just strictly the tender.
Number three, I got to go with Guthrie's.
Okay.
That's Guthrie's good. Guthrie's good. Chicken Finger, the original chicken tender restaurant.
Yeah, well, and like I think I speak for myself before we get to the list. I think any list without Guthrie's in it is not a list
at
all.
Valid. No, it's not valid. No.
Guthrie's and so,
is in mine.
I got to go number four. This is where it gets down. We had some debate in the office earlier.
Is it a
chicken tender place versus a chicken place versus a wing place? You got to rank all of those, put that into consideration. But I'm still going with Popeyes. I think they've got some good tenders. It's on the menu, and it's quality chicken when you do order it.
All right.
That's good. Yeah, it's Popeyes.
And number five.
Finger looking good.
Number five, I'm going to round this out. I know it's an under the radar. Nobody really thinks about it.
Okay.
But it's got good flavor. It's cooked in that same signature oil that you know and love. Mm-hmm. I'm going Chick-fil-A at number five.
No claps.
No claps from you.
No claps.
I'm going Chick-fil-A.
Those
even
little
though
tater tots?
They're known for the... They're
tater tots?
No. Not the nuggets.
They have tenders?
They have tenders.
When did they
at
get
Chick-fil-A.
Tenders?
They've had tenders at Chick-fil-A, Trevin. You just don't look deep enough on the menu.
Oh,
they have
me.
Tenders.
Call me out.
And they taste quite good. But let's
That's
go.
That's an elitist pick.
Right?
Yeah, no. Chick-fil-A tenders.
Man. You notice how much had dining dollars on
you know,
this.
The list has gotten harder and harder to make with all the restaurants closing in Tuscaloosa.
That is true.
We need to do a separate podcast about the closed restaurants.
Top five closed restaurants next week. Top five closed restaurants. Well, shout out to Little Italy.
All right, Trevin, come on.
All right, number one. Actually, I'm starting back at number five, as I always do. Mm-hmm. Number five, I'm going to put Zaxby's at number five on my chicken tender
coming
list.
Coming in low
for Trevin, number five. Mm-hmm. At number four, I like it, Popeye's chicken tenders.
Yep.
It comes in at a good, clean number four. At number three, I go with Cane's.
Cane's
at three. At number three, I put they're low in quality in my opinion, but taste superb.
So now we'll have to see. You've got two more here.
Yes.
And you've made your feelings about Guthrie's. So we know that's in the top two.
Top two. Yes.
The question becomes: is your number one something that I've had and just didn't enjoy as much as you, or is it something I haven't tried yet?
You know, we're about to find out. Because
we're gonna
number
find
two
out.
Is Guthrie's.
All right,
actually.
Guthrie's.
Number two is Guthrie's.
All right.
I'm a fan of the chicken tender sauce. I like good chicken tender sauce. Guthrie's the best chicken tender spot in my opinion in Tuscaloosa. And number one, the most underrated chicken tender, in my opinion, in Tuscaloosa. And it's so great, you can walk to it from Coleman Coliseum after a basketball game. That's right, Jack's. Jack's chicken tenders at number one. If you're ever at Coleman next year, take a nice walk over to Jack's after
a
game.
Or at the NIT if we get a home game.
Please don't accept the NIT bid.
Hey.
But anyways, you know, just take a nice walk over to Jack's. Get you a nice little three-piece with some mac and cheese. You'll be good to go.
See, now that is, I have not had their chicken tenders. I've had their biscuits. And a couple other things on the menu, but I haven't had the chicken tenders.
Try the chicken.
We'll have to try that one.
Good.
I'm glad you said Jack's, because Jack's is on my list as well. It's five. I'll count down for five, actually.
All right.
So here's our list here, right?
All right.
Five is Jack's. Four is Milo's. Three is Innisfree. Ooh, Irish
Gold. Milo's. Oh, and Innisfree. Oh, all right. Through two curveballs.
I haven't had Innisfree's chicken tenders.
I have the wings, not the chicken tenders.
I can't believe y'all have been in Tuscaloosa this long and haven't had Irish Gold tenders from Innisfree. All right, so go do it tonight, actually.
All right.
Five is Jack's, four is Milo's, three is Innisfree's Irish Gold, two is Guthrie's, one's Cane's. Tuscaloosa Cane's only.
Yeah.
All right. Because this is a big topic of debate for me. Most other Cane's taste like they season their chicken in water, right? That's just it. They put it in salt water and that's it. Tuscaloosa Cane's, there's something about it. There's like real flavor.
It's
got
like a salt, salty.
No, there's just flavor to it.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, but
got a little oomph behind it.
It does.
Well, and I like, and every time I go, at least, they put hot sauce in the bag for me so I can mix it in my cane sauce.
Ooh.
And that just elevates it, man.
Okay, huh. All right.
How did that not come up in the sauce category earlier this year? Right. That sounds good, but.
Yeah. Well, you got James thinking. He's
I do think it. we've got a lot of good chicken tenders to choose from, and stay tuned, 90.7. That Twitter account, we will be ranking chicken tenders as we eat them. You can submit your top chicken tenders in Tuscaloosa. We will then be eating them here, ranking them, and compiling a list for you guys. So you're going to want to stay on the lookout for that. You're listening to the Bama Baseline Podcast. When we come back, we're talking SEC tournament. So stay tuned.
The Capstone, 90.7 FM, WVUA.
Welcome back into the Bama Baseline Studios. We're here with you today. We're about to preview what I believe is the greatest week of the year. Mm. Guys, it's SEC Tournament Week in Nashville, Tennessee. Anybody else as excited about the SEC Tournament as I am?
I'm excited. I always love the SEC Tournament as it comes up. I'm looking for bracket busters. I'm looking for teams that are on the bubble working their way in, teams that will work themselves out of the picture.
Hey, man, I'm just looking
There's
for a miracle.
There's a lot going on.
I'm just looking for a miracle.
Trevin's looking for a miracle.
We're all We're all after different things here. No, if you've never – have James, Trevin, I can't believe we haven't talked about this before, but have any of you been to the SEC Tournament?
I've been around it. I've never been in the arena for one of the games. I've been in Nashville while it's happening, seeing the fans.
I'm poor.
Around,
I have not.
Around the arena.
It's $10 to go if you're listening
and
before
gas.
Thursday. And gas, of course. It's $10 you sit on the floor for your team's game. It is not only that. Guys, I'm going to go a little bit you know, off the cuff here.
All right.
If you're of age, this is the week to go to Nashville, Tennessee. There's nothing better than me because it's perfectly set up. SEC Tournament, Bridgestone Arena right there at Broadway. You go meet your friends at one of the nice establishments on Broadway. Tootsie's is my favorite. Before the game, you stumble your way into the game. And then when the game's over, it's dark. So you go right back out. There's no better week than me. And all these people you meet throughout the SEC on the road and stuff, they're all there.
Yeah,
it's so much fun.
It's a big week for different fan bases to get together, have a fun time. A lot of Kentucky fans having a good time, but there's some representation from every school for sure.
Yeah, well, you got these Kentucky fans. These are the Kentucky fans that are a lot like Alabama football fans that don't go to the games, right? They're the ones that really, you know,
cheer,
bless
cheer.
Their hearts, that can't afford to go to Rupp Arena during the season and see their Cats play. So they buy up tickets for the week at the SEC Tournament and come there. And they are they're an interesting crowd, to say the least.
It's a large crowd, and whenever they get knocked out of the tournament,
the seats get empty.
The seats empty quickly after Kentucky leaves the field. Mm-hmm. But for the sake of the what is the word, the viewing of it, the look on TV, you hope that Kentucky makes it.
For the sake of the camera,
that's the word I was looking for. The aesthetic, you hope Kentucky makes it a deep run, but Alabama's case, maybe not so far. If you're looking for that miracle that Trevin's looking for, but let's go through day by day.
It's going to be a short search.
We're going to go day by day here.
All right,
and we're going to talk these matchups.
We're just going to call winners?
I want your winners.
Can we?
And maybe a one-sentence analysis of why. We'll start off on Wednesday with Georgia and Ole Miss.
I'm up first?
Yeah.
Georgia wins. They have the number one player in the country. Ole Miss is terrible. Luke?
I'm with Trevin.
Two fragments, not a sentence.
I'm with Trevin here. Georgia's going to win that game handily. On Wednesday night, sadness, of course, at the SEC tournament. Georgia's going to beat Ole Miss pretty handily. Anthony Edwards on the neutral court. Anthony Edwards, Rayshon Hammonds. I think there's going to be too much for this Ole Miss team.
I agree. I think Georgia wins it. I think Anthony Edwards continues to put up a lot of points. All right, we move on. Later that night, we have Vanderbilt and Arkansas going head-to-head.
Just because I'm mad at them, Arkansas wins that game. I don't want Vandy to win anymore.
All right, I'm going Arkansas. They've got Joe back. They've been better with him. Mason Jones might be the player of the year despite being on the 11th team in the conference.
Yeah.
They're a good team.
Luke,
what do you got?
I'm sorry, what
Arkansas
was this game?
And Vanderbilt, yes.
Arkansas, oh.
The
Arkansas.
Other night one game.
He's checking his tickets.
No, this is my sleeper. Arkansas is my sleeper team because of Mason Jones. Is Isaiah Joe back?
He is back.
He's back. Guys.
Had this, a great game last
year. This Arkansas team, even though they just lost, this Arkansas team, they shouldn't be playing on Wednesday night.
They shouldn't.
They shouldn't at all.
I don't know how they are, really.
Well,
isn't that the tale of the SEC?
It is.
Why are they there? What happened? Why are they there?
Guys, I want you to, seriously though, I want you to keep an eye on this Arkansas team in the SEC tournament because I think they're primed to make a run.
I do too. I think the schedule falls their way, but we'll move into that later on. Alabama, Tennessee, the first game on Thursday. I believe it's noon tip-off.
That is a
Central
nooner.
Time.
It's a nooner.
Who do you got, Alabama or Tennessee, Trevin? We'll let you kick this off here. We'll see if you are loyal.
I'm going to take Alabama.
All right.
In this one, you know, just based on just the gut feeling I have, you know, we lost to them earlier in the year by 1 point here at home, and I think that on neutral floor, even though we're a little battered, we're a little bruised, we're a little broken. I have a good feeling that we may pull this out. Going with Alabama.
You know, I'm going with the Tide as well, just because the previous matchup against Tennessee, Alabama should not have lost. And it's solely because, not because Alabama got out-rebounded, in my opinion, but this is the one game of the year that I think you can blame officiating on, because there was just a huge discrepancy of between free throws, between the two teams, and it's just Alabama was the better team, and just by, you know, not shooting, just by shooting, you know, 24 less free throws, they can get the win.
Yeah,
you know? That's just my opinion. But Alabama's going to win. It's going to be a good Tennessee crowd in Nashville. Should be fun to be there for. If you're able to go noon Thursday, should be a fun game.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to go Tennessee here.
You know,
I'm going to have to pick Tennessee.
I expect nothing
to win the
less
game. And here's
from you, James.
Here's the reason why I agree.
You must have big plans during spring break.
I agree with Luke. Yes, I do. I think that
a quick return trip.
I think that Alabama last game, it was on the home floor. I do agree there were a lot of factors that played into Tennessee eventually winning that game. I don't think Fulkerson has the same game that he had. But I do look at this and I say Vescovi had a bad game against us. They had a couple of other guys who did not play well, who have played better since then. This is a team that's beaten Kentucky since they played Alabama. They've beaten Florida since they played Alabama. I think that they're a good team. They're not a great team by any means. And if I'm being honest, a little part of me just wants Alabama to not go to that NIT tournament, and I think that this is a sure way to make sure you're not in it. So,
and it sure is.
I think that I'm not pulling for Tennessee, certainly, but I'll be riding with Nate Oates and the Crimson Tide. But I think that we've seen maybe the team, certainly not as a whole, but we've seen certain areas where it looks like they've checked out. And we had this issue last year. We saw, of course, in the NIT tournament, the entire roster really checked out. It seemed to be the writing was on the wall at this point in the season, what was coming in the offseason. We know that all came to fruition, and Nate Oates is now in here. I think Oates has brought a different culture, but when you get into these tough spots, I think is where it most shows itself, right? and they've been saying all the right things. They've gone through this season. They've had a different mentality when they get down in a game or when things start going the wrong way. But when you get down to the season and now you're playing for what feels like to these guys nothing, that's when you see how deep this mindset penetrates with some of these guys. And I'm not sure if the entire roster is totally bought in. I think that it could be an ugly end for Alabama to the season, whether it's in the NIT or here. Again, I hope I'm wrong. I hope Oates can rally these troops, get them to play hard throughout the rest of this season, make a deep push in the SEC tournament, make a deep push in the NIT. But I do fear that maybe it hasn't fully caught on with some of these guys.
What we got next, James?
Next up, we have Florida versus, we all picked Georgia.
Yes.
So, Florida versus Georgia, that'll be the next game on the slate. Who do you got, Florida and Georgia?
Florida by a lot. That's it.
Florida by a gator's mouth.
I'm going Florida by quite a bit, too. Although Florida, let me tell you, Florida has let me down. Every time I watch Florida, I think, oh, look at this. They look like they've turned a corner. They look like they've got this figured out. And then they let whatever team they're playing against come back and win the game.
Well, let's talk about this for a second. Florida, I don't know if you've been checked in to Florida Twitter recently, but they are upset with Mike White, as they should be. Because apparently
it's been
now,
a weird year for them.
It really has. And they were ranked preseason number six, and then they have 19 wins as number six team in the country, supposedly. Florida fans have checked out on Mike White. I mean, they're finally seeing what I've been saying all along, that he has no personality and it's hard to get his players to play for him. So Florida fans have opened their eyes.
I do think Mike White can bounce back, though, next year if he can get some guys in there and they can play better.
Isn't that what they're always saying?
I think that's the whole thing with any of these teams is, and especially a team like Florida, you said ranked preseason number six. I do think Kerry Blackshear was way overrated coming into the year. I think he's a good basketball player, but he was preseason player of the year on a lot of boards. And he's just been another guy on the team.
We forgot about this news that Kerry Blackshear more than likely not going to play the SEC tournament due to injury or illness, one of the two.
Yeah. Let me tell you, though, Omar Payne in that Kentucky game, he looked good. He looked ready to step up for him, blocking shots. But I do think they'll get past Georgia, though. Yeah, I think Anthony Edwards and Rayshon Hammond won't be enough on their own to take down Florida. Mm-hmm. And we move on to the night games, Missouri and A&M, maybe the least predictable 7 versus 10 matchup in the history of the SEC tournament.
I'm going with A&M on this one. I trust Buzz William. I think he's been the coach of the year this year in SEC basketball. Nate Oates a close second. Nate Oates is a close second because just based on what he's had to deal with and how he's managed to just even claw and tooth his way to get 16 wins out of a team that's missing basically 5 guys at one time. I think Buzz Williams has done an amazing job with Texas A&M. I trust him more than I trust Mizzou. So I'm going with Texas A&M.
I'm here too. I put Texas A&M in the same category as I put Arkansas recently. They're waiting, especially second half of conference play. They've just been waiting for an opportunity. Mm-hmm. And it's come around to them as well. Games against Auburn, in Auburn, games against Alabama, where they just play really tough. And they lost to LSU, too, or they beat LSU, too, didn't they?
I believe they did.
Am I wrong? I'm probably wrong.
Pull that up here.
Well, even though
they lost to LSU, but they have beaten Auburn at Auburn.
Okay. I don't know where I pulled that from. But no, seriously, this A&M team is just, because they've played the whole season really without TJ Starks and playing basically 7 guys due to injury and nobody coming back for them to play for Coach Buzz Williams, who's Coach of the Year in my opinion.
I think he is too. We'll move on here to the night game. We all had Arkansas taking on South Carolina. We'll go here. I think Arkansas takes this one. I won't get as in-depth of an analysis. I've already made my opinions known on Arkansas. I think they're a really good basketball team.
I'm taking South Carolina.
All right.
Yeah, very good.
I'm taking South Carolina. I just have a gut feeling. Go South Carolina.
Gut feeling.
Yeah.
I've got Arkansas again. They're going to make a run.
Stand alone.
All right, we'll go through these last few rounds here. We'll try to get through it quickly. Kentucky against Alabama for you guys. I'm picking against Tennessee.
It I think matter. It's Kentucky, Kentucky either wins. Way. Kentucky.
There's no bigger tradition for Alabama basketball than losing to Kentucky in the SEC tournament.
That is a time-honored tradition. We'll go Mississippi State and Florida here. I think we all had that matchup.
Mississippi State.
Hey, give me State.
I'm going
Reggie
Florida.
Perry. Reggie Perry.
I think they get things straightened out towards the end.
I don't think so.
All right. We got Auburn and A&M. We all picked A&M.
It's the back sweat bowl.
All right.
I'm going Auburn.
I'm going Texas A&M.
Flip a coin.
Oh.
Whatever happens, happens.
I think Texas A&M wins that game.
Flip all a right.
coin. Only all team right. to beat them at home.
Now, for me and Luke, it'll be Arkansas and LSU. Trevin, you've got South Carolina and LSU.
I think South Carolina wins.
South Carolina, I'm going Arkansas.
I don't trust. I think they I don't get trust the upset LSU here. Right now. I just don't trust Will Wade.
I really don't trust
him
either.
I lost. I think he's lost the wheels of that team.
Well, it's hard to have him first. I agree with this. I'm taking Arkansas.
All right, so we all have the upset of the number three LSU Tigers.
I'm sick of LSU. I'm sick of them.
Just about everyone is. So now we all have Kentucky. I've got Florida. I think you guys had Mississippi State.
Well, let's keep Kentucky in.
I'm going Kentucky.
Let's keep it pushing.
Going
Kentucky,
Kentucky
to the finals.
Kentucky, yeah.
All
right. It's unanimous.
Now we've got me and Luke had Auburn. You had Texas A&M, Trevin. You had South Carolina.
Yeah, six so versus
you,
seven.
You've got A&M, South Carolina. Luke, we're picking Arkansas and Auburn.
This was a close game. This was an overtime game in Bud Walton Arena earlier in the season where it just looked like, you know, Mason Jones carried that team. That game, I think he'll do it again.
He's going to carry the team win or loss. I can guarantee you that.
This Arkansas team, I believe in them, man.
I do too. That's my issue all season. I've believed in them.
You believed them.
Now here we come. They're off the bubble again.
I'll take Arkansas.
All right, I have to go Auburn, but I think Arkansas has done enough through this tournament to get into the field.
All right, so for me, Trevin, as a Lone Ranger here, so my matchup takes A&M versus South Carolina. I am going to take South Carolina. They've had Texas A&M numbers all year, beating them handily 20 points both times. Mm. So I'm going to take the Gamecocks versus the Wildcats in the finals.
All right, so Kentucky-Auburn, I'll pick Kentucky to win it all. Luke, you've got Kentucky and Arkansas.
You've been cats!
An old 90s matchup. And Trevin, you have Kentucky and South Carolina.
Yeah.
Give me the cats.
Something in my soul.
Trevin, are you going
to make a pick?
Something in my soul. I'm going with South Carolina to win the SEC tournament.
All right.
I'm going with South Carolina to win the SEC tournament. I'm sorry, Luke. I know you're friends
alert.
Now.
Bid Steeler alert. We have South Carolina in the NCAA tournament.
Trevin, did you, like, make a deal with the mob or something?
No.
Are you caping for South Carolina this hard?
No. I there's just something about it. South Carolina has a good way through. If they can get past the hurdle of Arkansas, I think it's very clear-cut way to the final. I think they'll beat Auburn. I think they'll easily handily beat LSU. When they get down to Kentucky, they've already beaten Kentucky once this year at home. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they know how to beat Kentucky. They're not scared of Kentucky. It's going to be a tough game. You know, there's going to be two fights. It's going to be great.
All right, so we've got Trevin predicting a bid stealer.
Hey, if I'm right, y'all owe me a dinner.
Me and Luke going with Kentucky once again.
We're gonna hold
each other to these projections throughout the week as they happen.
Trevin, if South Carolina wins the SEC tournament, I will buy you a steak dinner.
All right.
Steak dinner. Hey, y'all heard that live on the air.
Steak
I'm holding
dinner
you to that.
Online. We
I'm
have a handshake.
For me and my girlfriend.
You're gonna buy us dinner if Kentucky wins?
Yeah, I'll get you guys both canes.
All right, we're shaking on that.
I'll take that.
All right.
I'll take that action.
That's all we got for today on the Bama Baseline Podcast. I'm James Fletcher.
I'm Trevin Fiorentwell.
And I'm Luke Ratliff. Thanks for listening. We'll be back it's going to be 2 weeks after spring break to wrap up the season.
Yep.
Thanks for listening.